This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Fantasy Pros NFL Draft Show. I'm your host, Derek Brown. And no, if you're on YouTube, your eyes are not deceiving you. That is not Thor Nystrom in the co-pilot seat. I'm joined this week by the man, the myth, a Packer fandom lore legend, Pat Fitzmaurice. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the top combine standouts, recap the combine. We're going to go through quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And Pat, let's just start off with some fire here, baby. I know we just updated our Dynasty trade chart. You can find that at fantasypros.com/trades. A lot of people are going to be trading into the first round of rookie draft, baby. JJ McCarthy is a guy that I think stood out. We got to talk about his throwing session at the combine. Pat, why do you hate JJ?
Well, you are bringing the fire to begin with, throwing on. First of all, thanks, by the way, for letting me fill in for Thor. Big downgrade, especially for any Minnesota people watching this. Going from Thor to a Packers fan, like, that's just...
Oh, baby. Off. Fighting words.
They've already turned off the show, but, you know, hopefully they'll stick around. So, yeah, I don't hate J.J. McCarthy, but I think for me, D-Bro, he was hiding in plain sight. And, like, I watch a lot of Michigan games. I kind of hate watch him, to be honest, because, you know, I'm a fan of a certain other team from the Big Ten, from Madison, Wisconsin. So, yeah, I don't like the maize and blue that much, and I watch a lot of their games, and generally I'm cheering against them. But I saw McCarthy, and I thought he had NFL tools, but I figured maybe a day two or day three pick, just because I don't know. It's pretty rare for a guy who now I think it's a given almost that he's going to be a top 10 NFL pick. For a quarterback who's going to be drafted this highly to not really be all that prominently featured in his college team's offense. You know, I mean, like, McCarthy just wasn't asked to do that much, throwing 23, 24 times a game because Michigan's defense and its running game were so good. So it was there all along. And it was, I think, J.J. McCarthy beating on my Badgers in his second to last college season in 2022. That made me wonder about his NFL prospects. But, man, I did not see top 10. So mea culpa on that one. I didn't think he was going to be this good a prospect. And now clearly he's going to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah. And I mean, there's rumors out there. Thor and I have, you know, we've talked about our love letter on J.J. McCarthy. Now he's getting top five, top three possible hype. Fitz, do you still have him in your dynasty rookie ranks? Like, is he still the QB4 or did he move at all after the performance at the combine?
Yeah, he's four for me, and Okay. Very early in the process, right after the college season, D-Bro, I mean, I had him behind Michael Penix, which I've obviously had to change my tune about, you know, and I know you're not the biggest Penix fan, but I still kind of like him. But yeah, McCarthy, it would be pretty foolish for me to, you know, stick to my priors on that one. McCarthy's, the draft capital is going to validate McCarthy as at least the number four, and depending on where he lands, I might move him past, you know, either May or Daniels.
Yeah, I know you and Scott Bogman both ran through all your rookie tiers and stuff, so if anybody's not listening to that show, they need to check it out, man. A guy that, again, if we're talking about rookie drafts and we're talking about NFL draft prospects, who Thor and I talked about this, you can go check the receipts on the Combine preview episode. We talked about Joe Milton lighting it up at the Combine. Basically, he was going to, you know, play the game of how far can I throw it? Can anybody run under it? But we saw all those things at the Combine. Fitz, do you think, after what Joe Milton put up as far as the show he did in Indy, do you think that really bumps up his draft stock? And what were your takeaways from his performance?
I kind of don't. And I'm actually I'm a Joe Milton stan, D-Bro. But I think he had, and even as a Joe Milton stan, I think he is a developmental prospect in the NFL. Which is, for an older prospect, I mean, he doesn't have all that long to develop, but he's going to need a year to sit minimum. But I think he might have the strongest arm of any quarterback on the planet, including anyone who's in the NFL right now. Thor's comparisons to Nuke LaLoosh from the film Bull Durham apply. Like, that arm is ridiculously powerful, but you don't always know where the ball's going.
Agreed. And that's why I comped him to Josh Freeman. It's like, big arm, big guy, you just don't know where it's going to go. And it's like, this was the perfect avenue for Joe Milton. We talked about this again on the preview show, where it was like, look, we know he can run. We know he can throw. We know he could throw it over a mountain. None of that's surprising. So to watch him go out there and look like Uncle Rico is not surprising at all. So really, you're still looking at a guy probably going to garner day three capital. Maybe some team just loves the intangibles and says, look, what can he be, not what is he, and reaches and gets him in round three. But I still have him as a round four, round five kind of prospect. You're really drafting him as an NFL team for the traits alone. And speaking of the traits, dude, I mean, moving over to running back, a player that I honestly right now, like, I'm working through my primers. All of those will be live this week on the site. A player I've got to go back and add to the dynasty ranks and figure out where I'm going to rank him, especially considering we just updated all of our dynasty ranks. So fantasypros.com/dynasty rankings. Isaac Grando out of Louisville, man. He broke numbers, Fitzy. Ran a 4.3, tested, like, he's got a 9.9 RAS, like, Have you had a chance to dive into his film? Like, because I haven't gotten to him yet, but we got to talk about him because he blew up the combine, dude.
Well, D-Bro, I mean, I was familiar with him even before he got to Louisville because he spent 4 years playing for my Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, there we go.
And granted, he only had 99 carries in four seasons there because he was stuck behind Jonathan Taylor and then Braylon Allen. And he probably was more familiar to me as a kick returner for most of his time in Madison. It wasn't until his last year where he finally got some like quality backup reps. And even then it was only five carries a game or so. He kind of reminds me in a way coming out of college of Antonio Gibson, D-Bro, a guy with like a size speed combo and profile that will make you fall in love, but a very limited resume. And, you know, a more expansive resume, I guess, than Antonio Gibson, who I think had under 40 carries at the FBS level, whereas Garendo was at least a rotational back in his final season at Louisville. But he's physical. I mean, like, he will rattle your teeth if you come up to take him. Like, he is not afraid of contact. Sometimes he'll bounce things outside. I think what I saw from him, Wisconsin, like, he is swervy when he runs, but I don't know if he can really cut.
Okay.
Like, that's what I want to see. Like, can he make sharp cuts? Because I saw him sort of weave more than cut at Wisconsin and with the Louisville highlights I've seen so far. But I still think anything maybe before the fourth round for him in a 12-team super flex draft, or maybe anything before the mid third in a 1QB rookie draft is a little too aggressive. You know, anyone who's trying to grab him in the late second or early third, I think you're just, you know, projecting and falling in love with the combine numbers. But he's interesting. He's definitely interesting. I don't think he's going to have a big role for an NFL team as a running back in his first year, but as a developmental guy who can maybe contribute in year two, year three, I'm interested.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, the testing alone, I'm not saying that he's definitively going to be this guy, but it's very Isaiah Pacheco-like as far as a guy that really just came in and blew up the combine, and now he's all of a sudden on everybody's radar. And I mean, for a guy that, again, like, talking about just being keeping 100 here, Fitz, I haven't gotten to his tape yet, but if you're looking at just the analytical profile, a running back amongst all running backs last year with at least 100 carries, that was 14th in yards after contact per attempt, 18th in breakaway run rate, his numbers kind of stand out. They jump off the page, man. So he's a guy that, look, if you're reading my primers, again, I'm going to have running back primer up later this week. He is a guy that I'm trying to get through all the film and dive into to figure out where the heck I'm going to rank him. But a guy that, again, we're talking about players that crush the combine right now. Jalen Wright has to be the next name we bring up here, Fitzy. Like, I had him as my RB2 in my ranks. I'm curious where you sit in on him, but he did nothing to move. And ECR right now for our rookie ranks, he's RB5. The guy went out and crushed it, Fitzy. Ran a 4.4, 9.7 RAS. Like, 91st percentile or higher in the vert and broad. Like, what are your thoughts on Wright, man? And I mean, do you have him at RB5 or are you going to push him higher?
I actually do have him at RB5, but I moved him up. I think he was at RB9 for me pre-combine or something like that.
All right.
And it's just that, so he runs hard. 4.38 and a 9.82 relative athletic score at 5'10.5", 210 pounds. Almost prototypical NFL running back size. Wasn't really asked to carry that big a load at Tennessee, but then again, that's where maybe the Alvin Kamara comp could apply, because Kamara wasn't really carrying a big load for the Vols either. But yeah, he runs hard, maybe bounces it outside a little too often, but it's really easy to see this guy making the smooth transition to the NFL with his physical characteristics.
Oh, he's got juice for days, man. I mean, just looking at Wright, like over the last few years, I mean, the numbers last season especially, they pop, dude. I mean, we're talking about a running back that was fifth in yards after contact per attempt. I've given him a third round draft grade. I think that's where he goes, considering his testing and just looking at the overall landscape of this running back draft class. And I mean, staying at the top of that draft class, a player that is everybody's RB1, and yes, I'm going to issue my apology letter. Thor, I know you're listening. You're not here on the show today. Some say you ran away from the Marshawn Lloyd apology letter. I'm not saying that, but some have said. But I will issue my apology here to Trey Benson. As a player that, look, I've got him as my RB4 in my ranks right now. Talent is there. Size is there, and look, at the combine, we saw the speed is definitely there. 4.39 speed, 9.7 RAS. I mean, really, Fitzy, I'm not going to push back about anybody having him as their RB1 in this class. It's just not where I fell on him, but he's in my tier one. Where do you sit on Benson?
Yeah, so I had him at RB4 pre-combine. Now I've got him at two,
okay.
RB2. And, I can't say I fell in love with the film when I was sort of going back and doing a rewatch of Benson. But the size speed numbers, not unlike that of Breece Hall. I mean, Benson ran a 4.39 at 6 feet, 216 pounds. Breece Hall ran a 4.39 at 5'11", 217 pounds. And it's Benson's size speed combination actually better than Bijan Robinson, who ran a 4.46 at 215 pounds. So Benson is 1 pound heavier, a little bit faster, but he just doesn't have the same juice as Bijan or Breece Hall on tape. I mean, if you watch, like, those guys were electric in college, and I don't think you could say Benson was electric. And for that matter, wasn't really asked to carry that big a load. Like, he was kind of part of a timeshare situation for the Seminoles. So intriguing for sure, and in sort of this, I don't know, kind of a hard to rank running back class, right, D-Bro? I mean, you take 10 different draft analysts, 10 different fantasy analysts, and their top 10s for rookie running backs are going to look a lot different. And, you know, Benson is a guy, a lot of people are going to have him at one. And I think we might see some people who just don't buy what they saw in film and might have him outside the top five.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is going back to a running back. And my running back rank specifically might differ from a lot of people. Just how I'm looking at these guys. Like, the top two guys on a lot of people's lists are Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks. We know Brooks didn't test, so he's probably not going to fall or jump in ranks for people. But as far as Benson goes, man, I mean, yeah, you're parsing through all of these guys. And the top guys, like, we're talking about Marshawn Lloyd didn't ever have, like, a high-end, like, giant workhorse season. Trey Benson, same thing. Jalen Wright, same thing. Trey Benson, over the last 2 years, only had one game where he logged at least 20 carries. So some of the concerns are justified about the workload stuff. Like, what can he handle? Just because we haven't seen it yet. Now, does he have the size, frame, and now the testing to back it up that possibly, yes, can he do that? Sure, man. But, I mean, we still have those questions about him. And right now, I mean, looking at NFL mock draft database, Fitzy, Benson's sitting in the 60s. Like, he's a possible second round pick. So you tell me, if he gets second round draft capital in the NFL draft, do you think he sneaks into the back end of the first in rookie drafts? Because I could see it happening.
I could see it, but I don't think he should. I don't think any running back under any circumstances should go in the first round of a super flex draft, maybe in the back half of the first round or you know, maybe one of the last three first round picks in a one QB draft, but there are just too many good receivers in this class, Debra.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I think like we could see some of that shift depending on like if some of these guys, if any of these running backs do get second round capital or they go in the third, they get just the plum landing spot, you know, some of those things can kind of move, but I'm not pushing back against that, man. Like I could see him maybe sneaking into the first round, but again, we're going to get to the wide receivers. A lot of this comes down to where people sit on these wide receivers. But if you're sitting in rookie drafts and you're looking for a guy that maybe falls into the third or fourth round, again, I guess I'm just on the all apology team right now, Fitzy, but Kamani Vidal, I know that's Thor's guy, so we got to bring him up here, man. 8.8 RAS had more speed than I thought he was going to have. Like watching Vidal's tape, I thought the short area stuff was there, but a 4.4 40, I didn't see that coming, man. But you tell me, what do you see out of Vidal? And do you think that really helped his stock a good bit? Because I don't know if it really bumped up his draft stock that much.
Yeah, I think it should. And so I didn't see that 40 time coming at all.
Like, no,
I thought
it was
going
to
be, I thought he was going to be a 4.6 guy.
Agreed.
And when Vidal, and I think they pronounce it Vidal, the Troy guys. Like I've been watching a lot of video on this guy. And yeah, I mean, he's sort of this no-frills power runner, used heavily, ran between the tackles quite a bit. And I thought he was kind of a small plotter, which is not something you want to be described as if you're running back coming into the NFL.
We're on 1-1 then, because my comp for him was Devin Singletary. So I'm with you on that, Fitzy.
And that might not be a bad comp, actually, D-Bro. And Singletary has been, I think, kind of surprisingly productive in the NFL. I think Vidal could be that same guy. And I almost wanted to see him run a 4.6 so I could grab him in the fourth round of drafts. I don't know if that happens anymore. Like I'd rather have Vidal than Garendo because of what Vidal has put on tape.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a slam dunk top 10 guy for me now. And like, I think you can make a case for him being as high as 5 or 6.
I think you can make the case, especially like, I mean, right now, I guess I'm making the case right now because we're going to talk about some guys that kind of fell on their face at the combine. But Vidal, like after the combine showing, I have him at RB6. I mean, the tackle breaking metrics kind of line up his game overall. And what Thor and I saw down at Senior Bowl, I mean, he can catch passes. His routes out of the backfield look pretty good, man. I think he's underrated as far as a receiver out of the backfield. But I buried the lead long enough, Fitzy. Now, we had I'm not saying Thor's not on this show because he didn't want to issue the apology letter to Marshawn Lloyd, but he's not here. So people can draw their own conclusions with that. But we did put out a bet before this show, and I let Mike Mayer set the line at a 4.5340. For Marshawn Lloyd, and he went out and just ripped that in half, baby. He ran a 4.46, came in with an 8.9 RAS, and I look, you talked about the difference in people's ranks and stuff. I put my stamp on it. I mean, I was already huge into Marshawn Lloyd coming into the process, especially adding on top of film, analytics, what we saw in Mobile. I'm not backing off, dude. Call me crazy, and I'm ready for it, Fitzy. He's my RB1 in this class.
Wow, yeah. So I could apologize on behalf of Thor or just apologize myself because I had Lloyd in the back part of my top 10. And now I've got him RB4 now.
All right, let's go. And respect on that man's name. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, the 4.46 at 220 pounds was great. And plus, we know he is a dog on blitz pickup. Like he is not afraid of the physical stuff, and it's just the production profile in college wasn't great. But then again, this guy was playing on a college team in his final season. He was at South Carolina for most of his career, but his final season, he's on a team where they're featuring Caleb Williams. So you can understand why he only had 820 rushing yards in his last season at USC. So, yeah, has some pass catching ability, not afraid to do the dirty work. Like he could play on any of the three downs, which you like seeing for a prospect because he could, you know, there are few three down workhorses anymore. But Lloyd could fit a number of different roles. He could play on passing downs for you. He could play on early downs for you. And that's what you like because he has sort of role flexibility, and that's going to help a rookie, you know, get touches right away.
Yeah, I just look at Lloyd, and I love to see that throughout this entire process, because he was listed as lighter than that. And throughout this entire process, he weighed in at Senior Bowl. And correct me if I'm wrong. Anybody out there can correct me if I'm wrong on the YouTube receipts, like in the comments. Correct me here. But I want to say he not only weighed in heavier at Senior Bowl, but as well in the combine, coming in at 220. Dude, and he ran faster than when a lot of people were going to give him credit for. Like, on the heavier weight, all that speaks volumes, man. As a running back, we're waiting and hoping some of these running backs like Jalen Wright, Marshawn Lloyd, Trey Benson, basically they put the cape on and come in, fly in and save this class, which everybody's down on the running back class. There's some guys in here that I like a little bit more than consensus. Like I've got a third round grade on Marshawn Lloyd. I've had a third round grade the entirety of this process. So none of that's changing. The receipts are out there. Go check it. Go look back on the Senior Bowl recap shows on YouTube and stuff. That's where I've been on him, man. But so really this is just more validation for how much I've loved Lloyd through this process. But a guy we got to talk about here next, Fitzy, and again, going back to Michigan, I know you don't like them, but we got to discuss Blake Corum, man. He is RB4 in ECR, and I'm curious where that ranking goes as we kind of move through this process, where he's going to go in the NFL draft, because he didn't do himself any kind of help as far as testing metrics, Fitzy. I mean, we already knew the size was, I'm not going to say a concern, but he's on the borderline at 5'7", 205 of being like, can you be a workhorse? Are you just a timeshare back? And then he goes out and coming off the, you know, we all know the injury history, but dude, coming off that injury history and he runs a 4.53, his vert is only 72nd percentile and his RAS comes in at 5.8. Like, do you think he goes screaming down boards coming close to the NFL draft? Or is this more of like teams go back to the film and they say, all right, that's fine, but that's really not the special sauce with Blake Corum.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to go first two rounds. I still think he could go third round because of what he put on film. D-Bro, he's still my RB1 in this rookie
really?
Class.
Really? Okay.
Yep. I mean, quick feet, best vision of anyone. I think he is the most instinctive and resourceful runner in this entire draft class. And like seeing it on tape, what he does. I mean, he is just like the subtlety in his, he just knows how to maximize runs. Like he knows when to cut, he knows when to hit the brakes, he knows when to stomp the accelerator, he knows when to just lower his shoulder and pick up an extra 1 or 2 yards when he's about to be tackled. Like he is just a professional runner. And like, I have no doubt he's going to make a smooth transition. And boy, if he gets the draft capital, if he gets, for instance, Jim Harbaugh.
I was going to say, don't say the Chargers. You're going to say the Chargers.
Oh, can't you just see him as the Chargers early down back? I mean, yep. I could totally see that.
And I could.
I think despite the testing numbers, and by the way, I think he measured at 5'8", not 5'7". Okay. Don't short our guy, D-Bro.
Well, that's your guy. That's not my guy. It's your guy. I'll let you have him, Fitzy.
I mean, I think he's terrific, and I've heard Ray Rice and Doug Martin comps. Oh, I think he's better than Doug Martin was. Like, I think the Ray Rice comp is the more applicable one for Blake Corum.
Look, I'm not saying that I hate the guy. I just think that looking at the skill set, the testing, especially if you also lop on all of that, as well as the pass game utility, how much is he going to see with that in the NFL? That's where my worries come down on him. But I mean, my worries about him pale in comparison to my worries about Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving could not have had, and look, I watched his tape going into this, Fitzy. I'm still working through my write-up for Bucky Irving, but Thor and I talked about this man going into the combine. He needed to crush the combine, to really kind of assuage some of those fears with Bucky Irving, 5'9", 192, because you know they were going to be talked about. The size, does he have the speed, the burst, all these things to overcome the size concerns. And then Bucky Irving goes out and runs a 4.56. He goes out and he only jumps a 29.5 vert. Like all of these metrics are bad. Like his vert was 10th percentile. His broad jump was 40th percentile. He came away with a 2.2 RAS, Fitzy. Like Irving's RB7 and ECR. And he's one of the guys, the next two guys we're going to talk about, well, next two or three guys we're going to talk about here I am unfortunately going to be fading in my ranks because of the concerns, man. But you tell me, like, are you fading Bucky Irving in your ranks or where's he at?
Yeah, I can't remember if I moved him out of my top 10, but he is at best RB10 for me. And I think he's like RB11. And everything you said, D-Bro, and maybe people are going to look back at the lesson of Kyren Williams, who came in as an undersized back who ran a really slow time. But here's the difference. Kyren Williams was a physical college player at Notre Dame. Bucky Irving is not. He is a space back, and he's not physical at all. And for him to run that slow a time, like, it's concerning for sure. I think he's going to be kind of a, should be more of an afterthought now in rookie drafts. Like, it's hard to see him deserving even third round draft capital in rookie drafts when there were some people pre-combine who had him as their RB1. Not going to say any
spicy,
names,
man.
But I know there were some fantasy analysts who had Bucky Irving as their favorite RB prospect in this class.
There's no way he can stay RB1 for anybody that, like, considering the testing and stuff. Like, if you keep him as your RB1, I'm just going to say it. Like, you're digging your heels in. It's take lock. Yeah. Like, we have to stay liquid through this entire process, Fitzy. Like, there are guys, like, where the testing is going to move mountains for as far as in ranks and what we think. And right now, especially, like, if you look on Mock Draft Database, Bucky Irving still has a third round EDP, expected draft position. I don't think that's going to hold. I don't think he should have ever had a third round grade on him. Right now, Bucky Irving is hoping that maybe he goes out and runs again in his pro day. Maybe he's faster. Maybe he does well as far as his pro day and maybe saves some of that. But I look at him as like a fourth or fifth round back, maybe fifth round, considering some of the guys that we have showing out. But do you see him going in the fourth round, or is that even too much?
Day three, for sure. Okay. I'll be really surprised if he's a day two pick at this point.
Yeah, man. And look, again, we're staying on the pain train here. A guy that we met down in Mobile, got a chance to talk to. I love this kid. Cody Schrader. I think, again, my write-ups, my look at him is I think he's going to be a fantastic pro. But he didn't do anything to help himself, Fitzy, at the combine. So we got to discuss it, man. Like, for a player that was in the Heisman conversation, got some votes, crazy production profile, but then has a 3.0 RAS? Like, he ran a 4.61, and if you look at the film, that's kind of what I thought he was going to do. But were you surprised by Cody Schrader, and how far is he going to fall?
Yeah, he ran a 4.6 at 5'8.5", 202 pounds, and then injured his hamstring on his second dash. So that was his first dash. Then he, and I know, like, was really a workhorse for Missouri and led the SEC in rushing with 1,600 yards. And that's a conference that had some really good runners. Ray Davis, the kid from Ole Miss, Quinchon. So, yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. And I think he is probably another day three pick. But, like, I don't want to entirely rule out Cody Schrader, because another one of those guys, D-Bro, who does... he can catch passes. So yes. Schrader's another one of those guys who could conceivably play on any down. But yeah, now I don't think there's probably wasn't any chance before that he went on day two. Mm-hmm. But now we might be looking at sixth or seventh round at best.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I look at him as a team's going to have to fall in love with him for him to go in round five. I look at him as probably being like a round six guy. Like, a team says, look, like, we want to bring you in. We want you on the squad. We don't want to fight UDFA stuff and things like that. So I think he still gets drafted, but that round five capital could have dropped to round six considering the testing. And for a player that could honestly just fall out of the NFL draft, I know that sounds crazy, but Fitzy, Audric Holyfield, excuse me, Audric Estime, looking at what he did at the combine, it's struggle bus, man. It's rough. And I will give him his flowers that, look, in the vertical and the broad jump, he did have 91st or higher percentile marks. But when you are a 5'11", 220 power back, and we could talk about, yes, could break tackles and stuff, I am burying him in my ranks after he went out and ran a 4.7 40. This isn't a wide receiver we're talking about, Fitzy. Like, a 4.7 is bad, man. Like, that just kind of tanks his entire outlook as far as the NFL draft and the NFL. But am I insane there, or are you burying him in ranks as well?
Yeah, what's with the Notre Dame guys and their bad 40 times? Kyren,
it's like Notre Dame, they can't run fast in a straight line. Whereas everybody that comes out of Penn State, they're like, pew, 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 like shot out of a rocket, baby.
They don't do sprints in South Bend, I guess. I guess I'm a lot less worried than you are about Estime, D-Bro, just because I think he is a prototypical early down thumper. Yeah, 221, maybe you wish he were a little bigger, and 4'7 at 221. Not great when we're talking about Marshawn Lloyd being only one pound lighter and running a 4.46. But just because the kind of back Estime is, I think now, like, he really shouldn't be in anyone's top five in this running back class. But now I've still got him at either RB9 or RB10. I've still got him as a top 10 guy. And, you know, in Dynasty, maybe he's going to be a little less valuable just because he does not profile as a pass catcher at all. He's not going to play on third downs in the NFL. He's going to be an early down guy like Braylon Allen. But, you know, Braylon Allen is bigger and faster. So I think Estime has to go a little later. Like, I don't see him going before the late third in most rookie drafts.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I'm just going to kind of cross off the board, to be honest, Fitzy. Like, right now, still getting through some of the lower running backs in this class, but, like, that 4.7 40 is just a coffin nail for me. Like, when you add on top, like, okay, so if he was a good pass catcher, maybe he has a saving grace. Like, there's utility there, but we're talking about a guy that didn't weigh in. Like, if he was in the 230s, okay, fine. Let's give him a pass. You know, maybe he put on weight for the combine, whatever. But as a player that you talked about the comparable size to Marshawn Lloyd, but then he goes out and runs a 4.7, like, it's not good, man. Like, you can name, I mean, probably it's a very, very short list of really good running backs or good fantasy options that have run 4.7s. Like, 4.6 is fine. Like, I'm totally fine with that. I'm still in. You know, that's not damning, especially if your 10-yard split is pretty good. But with Estime, that's not even the case, man. Like, even his 10-yard split was 23rd percentile. So even if you want to say that's the saving grace, it's tough, man. It's a really tough sell. But, look, if people are still in on Audric Estime, you can go get your exposure, man. Just head to Reality Sports Online. If you go, and I know everybody's talking about it, it's a fantastic platform. It's the most powerful sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams just like NFL general managers. The question is, have you tried it yet? Okay? If not, here is your chance, baby. All the buzz in the Dynasty community is around Reality Sports Online. Free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags. Got the franchise tag coming up here in the NFL, Fitzy. Contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much more. It sounds complicated. It's really not. Really, when you look at this, the best thing about a Reality Sports Online front office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. You think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the perfect platform for you to test your mettle. Go test out the general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. It's the promo code FANTASYPROS for a 10% discount. Fantasy just got real at Reality Sports Online, and we're talking about real stuff, Fitzy.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
it. I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Can we talk about a real record being broken at the combine? Xavier Worthy, next guy we got to talk about, man. I'm just going to hang up and listen. Tell me what you think about Xavier Worthy and his blazing lightning feet, baby.
That was fun. He needed to be blazing, though, D-Bro, when you think about it, when he measured in at only 165 pounds, which was the same weight as Tank Dell last year. And Tank Dell ran a 4.49, and that's why I was out on Tank Dell. When he ran the 4.49, I was like,
oh, I'm glad Thor's not here to hear that, because he...
I know, and you guys had been to the Senior Bowl, and you told me, like, covering Tank Dell was like trying to cover Mercury.
Yep.
And yet, when he ran that time, I'm like, nope, I'm out. I'm not touching this guy. That's just not fast enough for a dude who weighs that little. But the route running is the secret sauce for Tank Dell. And you know what, D-Bro? Xavier Worthy is a heck of a route runner, man.
Yes, sir.
Like,
yes,
put on
sir.
The film. When I watched him, sir. Like, the first guy who popped to mind for me was Devontae Smith. When I watched Xavier Worthy, I mean, like, it's the same type of thing. So, and I know people see the 165 pounds and they're worried about what's going to happen when a cornerback gets his hands on Xavier Worthy and jams him. Good luck getting your hands on this guy, because he is quick. He is quick.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. You can't press what you can't catch, man. Like, right. You got to hang with him. And here's the other thing, Fitzy. If you go try to press him at the line and you don't get your hands on him, good luck. You're already 2-3 steps behind, baby. I love the fact that we've talked about Tank Dell in here. Thor and I have thrown out the comp for Xavier Worthy as Tank Dell. I've said he's DeSean Jackson with better route running chops. And I love the fact that you brought up his route running, because that's the first thing people talk about, the speed. And I'm not telling people, we're talking about this in the combine. I'm not telling people to not talk about the speed, but that's the first thing that'll get mentioned about Xavier Worthy. When I think, like you, that the first thing people should be talking about Xavier Worthy is his route running, man. It's special. I think he's going to crush. I think looking at this combine, I already had him as a first round grade. There's no way that the top 32 teams now draft on night one and Xavier Worthy does not hear his name called. Do you agree, Fitzy? Like, he's first round locked now.
There's no way he gets past the Chiefs at 32.
No way. No
For
way.
A franchise no way. That values speed as much as the Chiefs do, if he's there, I totally see them grabbing him. And the thing about Worthy, one last thought, D-Bro, is that, like, he is not just a 9-route guy. This is not Philip Dorsett.
No.
Like, he runs the full tree, man. And it was actually, like, he averaged fewer yards per catch than Adonai Mitchell at Texas last year. And Mitchell was more the lid lifter in that offense, and Worthy was more the intermediate range guy. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think people are going to want to stereotype Xavier Worthy, and, like, it's weird. I mean, certainly the 4.21 gets people's attention, but, like, I would not worry too much about the small frame with this guy.
No, I'm not worried about that. And the other thing we need to talk about, it's a different NFL, man. Like, you're not seeing, like, you're seeing guys at smaller size. Like, they're not asking them to run over the middle constantly, and they're not absorbing these monster hits like we're talking about Ronnie Lott style in the 80s and other guys. Like, you don't see that. So smaller players are succeeding, and we're seeing guys that have speed and route running chops. Like, good luck trying to press them. Good luck trying to beat them. Like, they can beat man coverage. But I love the fact that you brought up Adonai Mitchell, because he's the guy, like, if you're doing mock drafts right now on fantasypros.com/simulator and you're rolling through all of these, where he goes in drafts right now, Fitzy, is going to be very, very interesting. And we're probably going to continue to see him go up the board. Like, does he get first round capital? Like, he went out and put up a 9.9 RAS, blew out every testing metric that he possibly could have. But I'm curious on your thoughts, man, because people know I'm not in on Mitchell. I'm not a Mitchell guy. But where do you sit on him after running a 4.34 40 at the combine?
Yeah, I'm and to run that 4.34 and to put up a 9.8 relative athletic score at 6'2", 205 pounds, I think he's going to be a first round NFL pick now. But after watching him at Texas, I guess I am a little agnostic on whether I think he's going to be a hit in the NFL. I like Worthy more, but
same.
Considering the physical blessings that Adonai Mitchell has, I would not be surprised if he turned out to be a really good NFL receiver. So I just like I didn't what I saw of him at Texas did not electrify me, but there were certainly moments. I mean, there were certainly moments, and, you know, with his physical makeup, like, I think he has probably earned himself first round NFL draft capital and like probably maybe in super flex drafts just outside the first round of rookie drafts. And in one QB leagues, I think he's a first rounder for sure.
Yeah, I could see all that. And the reasons that I'm out on him is because of kind of what we've discussed here. Worthy was easily the better player on that exact same team. And, you know, we could talk about Quinn Ewers. We could talk about the quarterback play at Texas. I mean, you know, foreshadowing here, I'm not going to be a Ewers guy when he comes out next year. Just not. I've watched enough of him short-arming Xavier Worthy and Mitchell on deep routes. I don't need to see any more. But looking at Mitchell, he's also still a player. If you just go back to the analytical stuff, he never earned over an 18.1% target share at all in college. Never finished a season with higher than 1.72 yards per route run. And both of those metrics, I mean, we're talking about, Fitzy, like targets are earned and yeah, guys can go run out. The NFL is littered and the NFL draft history is littered with guys that have gone out and run 4.3s, 4.2s and done nothing in the NFL because the other part about wide receiver is, oh dear Lord, there are other parts of it that you have to have as far as route running and other parts of your game to succeed. It's not just run fast in straight line, catch ball, score touchdowns. So Mitchell's a guy where I'm just lower on the consensus. But speaking of, you know, where we're coming in on consensus on, I know you've been itching, you've been pining to talk about this guy, Keon Coleman, baby. And I was going to lead this off with me giving my apology letter, but I'm just going to keep it real. I'm going to keep it 100 here. Keon Coleman did not do anything at the combine. I know I gave you tons of crap. We were just on our team trip in Nashville, and every time you and I linked up, whether it was the bar, the Airbnbs and stuff like that, we were walking by each other and you're like, Keon Coleman. I'm like, hi, Fitzy. What's up? Keon Coleman. The thing about Keon Coleman is he didn't do anything at the combine that I wasn't expecting. Like, I could shade him for running the 4.6s, but the miles per hour backup that he's got game speed. I thought he was going to jump out of the gym, and he did that, man. 38-inch vert, over 10 feet for the broad. Both of those were 87th percentile or higher. If you turn on the film, I'm still lower on him just based off the route running prowess, but tell me why I should love Keon Coleman more, Fitzy.
Yeah.
I know that's your guy. It's your guy.
And you did after his 4.62 on his first attempt. I think you texted me his professional obituary. Immediately, well, you're like,
it's called professional gaslighting, okay? Just to put it out there.
You're like, Keon, 4.62, no bueno. You know, you're just like done with him. So, yeah, I mean, he does run that slow 40 time, but then he goes out on the gauntlet drill, and he hits, what, 20.5, 20.7 miles per hour while running in a dead straight line as you're supposed to, and making it look easy on the catches, where you've got like Troy Franklin weaving around like me on a Saturday night in college coming out of the bars.
Franklin's my guy. That hurt.
Oh man, you saw him on that gauntlet drill, like, dude.
I did.
You gotta stay on the line, man. So he's a different type of receiver. We all have our types, D-Bro, right? It's just like life partners. We all have our types of receivers. And Keon Coleman is in that Mike Evans, Dez Bryant phylum of ball skills. He is about the elite ball skills and not so much about the separation. He's never gonna be an elite separator. But he does play fast. There is a reason why Florida State had him returning punts last fall. You know, if he was a complete slug as far as speed, he would not have been fielding punts. This guy has made some electrifying plays. He played college basketball for Tom Izzo at Michigan State, so we know he's got hops. I just have no doubts that it's 6'3", 213 with that kind of playing speed and his just phenomenal ball skills. Like if you throw it in the vicinity of him, he's most likely coming down with it a la Mike Evans. So I think he can be someone's classic alpha X receiver. And, I'll be surprised if he gets out of the first round, honestly.
Well, he needs those ball skills because the route running chops and separation are just not there, Fitzy. But I digress. Moving on. But a guy that can separate, I just had to get the dig there. But a guy that can separate, and I'm going to own this, Fitzy. We have not discussed Ladd McConkey, you and I. We talked about Keon Coleman for days and days and days, but we have not discussed Ladd McConkey. Ladd, I mean, look, he put me in a coffin. As a guy that I'm going to go back to the tape on, I had serious concerns coming into the combine. Does he have the true straight line speed to take the top off of defense? Because you've seen on film, corners can hang with him on deep routes, but geez, Fitzy ran a 4.39, dude. He had a 10-yard split that was 93rd percentile. I did not see 4.3 speed for Ladd coming, man. Did you?
No. I thought it would be 4.4 something, honestly.
Okay. And I put him in the 4.5. Like, makes me a hater, I'm a hater. But I didn't see it coming, man. Like, with that, considering the speed, man, like, did you move him up in your dynasty ranks right now for rookies, or did he kind of just stay at the same spot?
Yeah, I mean, I've got him behind, like, Keon and Worthy, but I think I've got him at, like, wide receiver 7, maybe.
That's exactly where I've got him, too. Yep.
I guess my hesitation with him is, why were the numbers not better in college? Why did he, in his final two seasons with the Georgia Bulldogs, average 3.7 catches and 51.7 receiving yards a game? He just was not a prolific producer at Georgia. But then again, I mean, like, who has had a better offseason than Ladd McConkey at the Senior Bowl and the Combine? True. And you watch the cut-ups of him, like, he is a route technician. There's no reason this guy shouldn't be good. And maybe he's going to be one of those guys like Hunter Renfrow, and I know Hunter Renfrow really only put up great numbers in one season. But Renfrow was another guy who, like, didn't put up glistening numbers in college, but then translated really well to the NFL. So maybe Ladd is going to be in that kind of class.
Yeah, it's really curious, like, where he's going to go in the NFL draft. I think considering the combine showing, like, you can make, like, back into the first round, you can make a case for him in the back end of the first round after that type of showing. I think he more likely settles in as a second round pick in the NFL draft. And I will push back against some of these things. I don't know if you've seen this out there, considering the testing, though, Fitzy. The side-by-side comparisons between Ladd McConkey's testing and size versus Garrett Wilson. Look, I might be a Ladd hater, or at least, like, supposedly a Ladd hater. I'm just keeping it real here, man. Like, you cannot comp him to Garrett Wilson. They are two absolutely and totally different players. So don't even, like, you can miss me with all that noise, but am I insane for that? Like, is that just too blasphemous?
No. Yeah, Garrett Wilson's a far better prospect. I mean, he was much better college production, and just, you could see it, like, that Garrett Wilson could be an alpha in the NFL, and I don't think Ladd McConkey is going to be a complimentary receiver. Maybe a really good one, but, like, he's not going to be a 1,400-yard guy at any point in his career. I just can't see that.
I agree. I think that he settles in as a strong wide receiver three or two for a team, depending on the depth chart and stuff. And that's fine. Like, it's okay. Not every prospect that comes out, like, we're not expecting to be a wide receiver one for an NFL team, and that's fine. And that kind of leads us into the next guy we're going to discuss here, Ricky Pearsall. Thor had a chance to talk to him at Senior Bowl. Fantastic interview. Love the kid. He went out and did himself nothing but favors at the combine, man. 9.7 RAS, ran a 4.4. All the highlights are there. The one-handed catches, the route running, all these types of things. What are your thoughts on Pearsall after this showing? Because I'll be straight up, Fitzy, like, I was surprised by these testing metrics. I didn't see that on film. And I think he really helped his stock here.
Yeah, a 4.41 at 6'1", 189 pounds. Impressive. And yeah, I think in a way, Debro, he might benefit from coming out with this draft class, because the last two, maybe three draft classes, just awash in slot receivers. And not a lot of those big outside wide receivers. Now we've got a lot of the big outside guys mm-hmm. in this class, and not really many pure slot guys. And Pearsall is probably one of the few and one of the best. So, day two pick without question. Wouldn't you agree? That's where he's going sometime in day two.
Yeah, I've had him as like a round three grade. So that's about where I put him. A team's going to have to love him for him to go in the round two. Now, can it happen? Yeah, I mean, it can happen. It only takes one team. I mean, we saw, like, just think of last time, around this time last year, Fitzy, were any of us talking about Jaden Reed as a second round pick? No. So it only takes one team for Pearsall to go in the second round. Am I saying it's wrong? No. Am I with all that hype and thinking that he goes in the second round? No. I think that he's a third round pick in the NFL draft. And you're talking about the big guys, the big bodied types. One of them that tested really well in Indy is Xavier Leggett, a player that we did not see break out at South Carolina until his final season. He made sweet music with him and Spencer Rattler, who, again, helped himself as well at the combine. But, tell me your thoughts on Xavier Leggett, man, because 9.9 RAS, ran a 4.39. A lot of people were extremely high on his testing. I'm kind of back and forth when you marry that with the film and the analytics, but what do you think about Leggett?
Same. 4.39, as you said, and 9.9 RAS at 6'1", 221 pounds. I mean, this guy is a specimen, including a 40-inch vertical. So, but at the same time, I think he's kind of a developmental guy, Debro, because he didn't do anything until he was a fifth-year senior playing in his age 22 season against much younger defenders. And now he's 23, and he's not a polished route runner by any stretch. I think he's a guy who is not going to pop as a rookie. He's just not going to. There's too much work to be done. But with the right team, if they can develop him, could be good in a year or two, a couple of years down the road.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that's going to end up overdrafted. I mean, this is why we try to marry everything through the analytics, the profile. You know, we look at all the different parts and pieces as well as the production and not just the testing stuff, you know, and try to figure out what is the range of outcomes for these players. And I just think Leggett's going to probably get overdrafted because of the physical profile, because of what he did at the combine. I understand it. But again, a guy that I'm probably not going to be looking for in rookie drafts. And I think NFL teams are probably going to fall a little bit too much in love with the testing stuff. But staying on the testing, man, we got to talk about Luke McCaffrey, the lesser known McCaffrey. Amongst the McCaffrey brothers, a guy that started out at quarterback, switched to wide receiver, really put up some good numbers at Rice. And then he's honestly, I'm not going to say he's a my guy, but a player that I really liked, and especially seeing him in Senior Bowl. For me, with McCaffrey, you put him in the slot, ask him to beat zone coverage. I think he can absolutely do that, and he helped himself at the combine. We're in a 4.46, 9.5 RAS. He was one of the rare guys that did all the short area stuff because he knew he was going to go out there and crush it. His shuttle, 96th percentile, Fitzy. Three cone, 94th percentile. So he's a guy that I think, like, look, if he gets the third or fourth round capital, I'm going to be looking for him in the back end of rookie drafts. Do you have any kind of love for McCaffrey?
Yeah, I mean, I would just echo everything you said, Debro. And he's 6'2", which is nice. Mm-hmm. He's taller than his older brother and not quite as tall as his dad, Easy Ed McCaffrey, mm-hmm. who was what, like 6'5". But, mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to have the bigger slot type like that, 6'2", a guy who can who has the reach to haul in a ball that's maybe not thrown right on target out of the slot. So, yeah, I like him a lot. Pretty much on board with everything you just said.
Yeah, my comp for him is Jacoby Myers 2.0. So we'll see if it comes to fruition, but I like the kid a lot. I like him a lot. And it's not just the easy quarterback layup. You know, we're trying to get, you know, different out here. But speaking of different profiles, dude, I mean, you talked about a lot of guys in this class that are big boundary receivers, can play physical and stuff. One of the guys that's screaming up boards right now after his combine showing, Malik Washington. Now, I know the 7.6 RAS doesn't, like, just jump off the page. We've been talking about a lot of guys that are in the nines, but ran a 4.47 at the as far as the 40-yard goes. His vert and his broad jump were both 87th percentile or higher, and his final year statistics, Fitzy, were just eye-popping. What do you see Malik Washington doing in the NFL? Is he a second-round pick, third-round pick, or do you think he goes later?
Maybe late third. More likely, I think he goes sometime in the fourth. Again, it was interesting. He really didn't do much at Northwestern, but unlike Xavier Leggett, where it's hard to explain why he didn't do anything until he was a fifth-year senior, it's a little easier for Malik Washington because by the time Malik Washington was an upperclassman at Northwestern, their quarterback situation was hot garbage juice, basically. Then he goes to Virginia and becomes this absolute alpha, 1,426 yards at Virginia last fall. So, yeah, he was a premium producer for the Cavs. I'm intrigued. And he was a guy who was really, I mean, totally not on my radar at all. I was familiar with him from his Northwestern days because that's right in my backyard. Mm-hmm. But I did not see his 2023 season coming. And it definitely puts him on NFL teams' radars.
Oh, I think so, too, man. I think he could be a great value as far as looking at the NFL draft. Teams that need a slot wide receiver, 87% in the slot last year, second in PFF receiving grade. So the numbers are there. And looking at his numbers and his size and his speed profile versus a monster, a mountain of a man, getting back to the bigger boundary guys, Johnny Wilson, he is a guy that I have been enamored with this entire process. 6'6", 231, Fitzy, goes out and runs a 4.52. Test just unbelievable in basically everything. He even did the shuttle, dude. 87th percentile, a 4.11 short shuttle. Johnny Wilson is somebody people need to be circling on their draft boards, looking for. If you're doing mock drafts, I think he's going to fall probably third round of rookie drafts. And count me in. Count me as intrigued. I think the ceiling is there. But what do you see out of Johnny Wilson?
Yeah, people should be doing mock drafts on our mock draft simulator, which you mentioned earlier, D-Bro. Yes, but that is a good warm up for. We are tweaking our rookie rankings. So those rookie rankings fuel our mock draft simulator for our rookie draft. So, take advantage. It's going to change as things, draft capital changes. That's going to change a lot of things. So that'll affect it. Yeah, Wilson is interesting, D-Bro, because, I mean, is he just going to wind up being another Devin Funchess where there's just not a fit? And I hate to bring that name up. Like, that's probably unfair to Johnny Wilson. It's easy to see him, if he gets classified as a tight end, having a Darren Waller type career arc. Cause like I think that's the obvious comp, but Waller was a tight end.
That's my comp. Yep.
And like Wilson, you know, what sort of eligibility is he going to get on our platforms for fantasy as a rookie? Is he going to be like Marcus Colston where he gets classified as a tight end in year one? That would be really nice. Because I don't know if he's purely considered a wide receiver, I don't know how much he's going to move the needle for fantasy, honestly. Like, I want to see him get tight end eligibility.
No, and we also did, I mean, Thor and I talked about this in Mobile, like, were teams going to ask him? We did get some kind of inklings from the combine that teams at least were scratching around the tight end stuff. And I know Johnny Wilson kind of shot that down as far as in questions and stuff on the podium, which I get it. He wants to play wide receiver. And I understand that. I can respect that. But the elite upside path, the path to you getting better draft capital, maybe going instead of the fourth round to the third round, it's all there if you move to tight end. Now, will he do that? Who knows? I'm still in on him as a wide receiver because the kid can play. And I think that especially you're looking at a guy that at that size should not be able to move that way. So if he is thrown into the tight end mix, he would be my clear tight end too. But if we're not talking about him in that ilk, then I still think the conversation for tight end two in this class is wide open, Fitzy. So with these last few final names, man, like, we got to talk about it. The tight end two conversation for this class, especially looking at what Jatavion Sanders did at the combine, I think it's fully wide open, man. Like, Sanders didn't just cement that for me. And I'm not saying that he went out and had a bad combine. 8.0 RAS, ran a 4.69. He did measure in fine, like 6'3", 245. But you tell me out of this final bucket of tight ends. So Jatavion Sanders, Theo Johnson, Ben Sinnott, and Jaheim Bell. All of these guys, varying testing. If it's not Jatavion Sanders, and I want your take on him real fast, but if he's not the tight end too, which one of these guys are you going to put your chips behind for tight end too?
So Jatavion still is my tight end too, just okay, because of what I saw of him at Texas. Like, I'm convinced, like, he's the second best pass catching tight end behind Brock Bowers.
Okay.
In this tight end class, like, Theo Johnson is fascinating, especially since I know our guy Scott Barrett over at Fantasy Points has done some really good work suggesting that athleticism is the best predictor of how tight ends are going to do in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And here's Theo Johnson putting up a perfect 10 relative athletic score, running a 4.57 at 6'6", 259 pounds. But then again, his best season at Penn State last year, 34 catches for 341 yards, 7 touchdowns. But then again, I don't want to hold the Penn State offense against Theo Johnson because let's just say, if you watch Penn State enough, there are some things about that offense that are somewhat counterintuitive. So yeah, like, he was a total afterthought for me. And now I think he's absolutely going to get picked in every rookie draft and probably like in the fourth round. Now, and, you know, Sinnott, let's not overlook him, a 9.75 relative athletic score at 6'4", 250. And he did have a very productive last year at Kansas State, 676 yards and 6 touchdowns, 49 receptions. So he's interesting. Jaheim Bell, like, his testing was fine. What, 8.5 RAS, 4.61 dash at 241.
It was fine, but for his size, did you also walk away feeling like, because they listed him as 6'2". Now, if you go back to Senior Bowl, he measured in at 6'1 and some change. So depending on where that needle gets moved to is going to change his testing. But I'll say this, Jaheim Bell's analytical profile is fantastic. His testing and his size, I'm probably out on him. But am I wrong, Fitzy?
No, I mean, I think, like, no way can he be an inline tight end. And, like, I don't even know if he's a classic move tight end. He might be more of an H-back type guy.
Still too small for that,
Yeah, it's just, he's kind of a weird fit, and I would have to be really excited about his landing spot. I would have to be, like, I don't know, with the Chiefs or some team with a really creative play caller would have to take Jaheim Bell for me to be interested in taking him in a rookie draft.
I'm with you too. I think he's more kind of like the poor man's Mike Gesicki, in the sense of, like, he's going to be a move tight end, but he doesn't have the size nor the athleticism to really necessitate or say, okay, that role is mine and to keep it. He's just kind of a tweener guy, and that's where I've been. And I was like, okay, well, if he's a tweener guy, he needs to go out and just test amazingly to justify. Like, he's a guy that I think, like, considering the size and all everything else, his usage and stuff, he either needs to switch to wide receiver or we're going to see his draft stock possibly plummet, Fitzy. But I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think there's a world where Jaheim Bell could fall to the fifth round? Because I think it easily could happen.
He could. I mean, the name that keeps coming to mind with him now is Josiah DeGuara. Yep. The Packers took unwisely in the third round in 2020. And, you know,
another tweener.
Haven't figured out what to do with him yet. And, like, a guy who's just not good enough to really be featured in an offense. I don't know. Maybe I'm not being kind enough to Jaheim Bell, but, like, I don't know. I still want to remain open to see where the landing spot, like, whether we like the landing spot. But as of now, I'm pretty disinterested.
Well, it's hard for DeGuara to get on the field when you have new studs in there, just like Tucker Kraft. So, I mean, I understand. It's hard to get snaps when you have studs there. But, again, Thor missing this show. We're missing some studs here on this show. Thank you again, Fitzy, for stopping by, man. I mean, we ran through a ton of players in this show, talking about all the combine stuff. Again, if you're doing mock drafts, you got to be heading to Fantasy Pros. If you are doing trades in Dynasty, check out the trade value chart. Thor and I will be back next week. We're going to run through positional stuff. We're going to start hammering all of our positional ranks. So stay tuned for that show and appreciate y'all tuning in. We're out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok @FantasyPros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.